Yo, message heavy, don't prompt, yo, they not ready. Race against the time like four wheels and ain't ready. Keep it steady, beat it hard and they barely give them ears to hear the truth when the light throw confetti. Yeah, message heavy, don't prompt, yo, they not ready. Race against the time like four wheels and ain't ready. Keep it steady, beat it hard and they barely give them ears to hear the truth when the light throw confetti. Just a flip of the watch, it's game time, game time, time. Flip of the watch, it's game time, game vibes. Just a flip of the watch, it's game time, game time.
What's up and welcome to the first episode of season 3 here on the 520 Collective Podcast. We are on the Trackstars Podcast Network, and it is 520 Collective, where music meets ministry and the indie artist takes center stage. My name is Eric Boston, and for this first episode of season 3, I am joined by 520 staff member Jeremy Fleetwood. You might know Jeremy, maybe you don't. He runs a lot of our social media accounts. He also, you know, hangs out with us in the different chat groups and stuff that we have. So super thrilled for him to be here with us on this episode. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey guys, what's up? Doing great. Excited to be here on the first one of the year.
For sure, for sure. And guys, this episode is being sponsored by Light. He is a Christian rapper from North Carolina, and his latest single, Gonna Last, is available now across digital outlets. With a West Coast summer vibe, Gonna Last brings a little heat even when it may be chilly outside. With a Christ-centered message, the track remains relatable and reminds everyone that Jesus is popping. Make sure to follow and support Light on Twitter at 252Light. So like I said, guys, I am Eric Boston. You can catch me on social medias. On Twitter, I am at EricBoston3. That's at EricBoston and the number 3. So make sure you hit me up there. Jeremy, where can folks find you at?
I'm primarily on Instagram, so at Jeremy_Fleetwood. I do pretty much all of my Christian rap things there, but I am on Twitter as well, Fleetwood83.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Like we said, Jeremy, you run, man, seems like kind of everything for us on the social media in there at 520. Why don't you let the folks know, if they're not following us, where they can follow us at?
Yes, we're on all three, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all under 520CHH. I do pretty much, you are talking to me if you message us on Instagram. I'm normally the one on Twitter. There's, you know, Eric and Nate, sometimes me. But Instagram, I'm pretty much the solely one that does the social media. But yeah, anytime, hit us up. We'll love to share your stuff. We have promo packages as well.
Yeah, man. And if you're interested in those promo packages, guys, make sure you hit up 520collective.com now. Check out the great promo offers that we have available to promote your content. Also, check out the latest post that's happening there. We have a lot of stuff going up. We have a lot of things planned for 2021 as we hit the new year. So check it out for articles, of course, music posts, reviews, lots of great content, guys. 520collective.com. And if you want to jump in, be a part of the 520 Collective podcast here in 2021, make sure you hit us up on Anchor. It's anchor.fm/520-collective. Again, that is anchor.fm/520-collective. You can go on there, leave us a voicemail. We may be able to feature you in a future episode of the podcast. So make sure you do that for us. We'd love to hear from you. And guys, I just want to make sure to give a big shout out. This episode is also being sponsored by the new song I Ride With Jesus by Chris Nunn. That is N-U-N-N. The track is a proclamation of authority and taking sides with Jesus in a time that seems increasingly against him. The song is meant to provoke courage to walk out our faith and to be a counterculture, not a subculture. So check out Chris Nunn. The single again is I Ride With Jesus. So shout out to our sponsors for this episode. Glad that you guys rocked with us here on the first episode of season 3. Jeremy, I'm going to tell you what, man. It's crazy that we're already on our third year of the podcast, third year of the platform. Man, it's just flying by, dude.
Yeah, it really has flown by. It just feels like, you know, just the other day we're talking about how we can reach people and how we can start this and what to do. And now it's 3 years in, you know, it's unbelievable how much it's grown.
For sure, man. And of course, you know, a new year for 520 means just a new year in general. Obviously, man, we got out of 2020, a lot of crazy stuff happening there. What's your 2021 started off like, man?
Oh, it's pretty good. I mean, down here in Midland, Texas, where I'm at, I told you earlier, it snowed twice, which is a big ordeal here because it doesn't snow that much in Texas. And, you know, it seems to be like, you know, hopefully this year will be more kind to us than last year, I guess you could say.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, that's the hope, dude. I mean, there's a lot of craziness going on. All I can say is, you know, pray for our country, pray for, you know, God's people, you know, just pray for each other, man. You know, keep it all lifted because there's a lot of stuff happening that's not in any of our control. But we don't have to let that deter us from, you know, the blessings that we have available. I mean, I think that's one thing that was encouraging to me, Jeremy. We talk about, you know, we live a lot on social media, right? But the one cool thing that I kind of took a little solace in over this past year is seeing guys within the Christian hip-hop space, you know, hitting their social medias and saying, hey, as rough as this year has been, you know, there's been a lot of blessings. You know, a lot of them have said this was my best year as an artist. And I don't think that was by chance, man. I know for sure that God knows where we are at. He knows what we're going through. He knows what's happening. You know, not everything that happens is something that he wants to see. But, I mean, it's obviously part of a bigger plan, and we may not get it. But definitely encouraging to see people with messages like that, that, you know, throughout 2020, you know, just of hope and those messages of, hey, you know, this has been really a great year for me when I really stop and think about it, man. Did you notice that kind of conversation happening? I mean, it seems like I saw it pretty often, honestly.
Yeah, I did. I'm trying to think of it, but I did see something where, you know, 2020 has been like a year where we have had to face so many different challenges with the kids at home and the, you know, us being quarantined, like, and like we still got through it though, and we still, you know, made it out where, you know, we're taking on these different roles as parents now, you know, I'm having to like kind of teach the kids, and then just with them, us being together a lot more, which I think might have been a good thing. I mean, because really, we work and the kids go to school, you know, now this year, a lot of people, their families had more time to be together, you know, almost like, and then another year, you know, you wouldn't maybe not be like that. So maybe, I don't know, it's like it's better in that right. aspect.
For sure, for sure. Well, man, you know, like we said, new year, we got some new stuff happening around 520, man. I'm excited. Actually, I just thought of something that we didn't even put on our list that we might want to hit on. But the first thing I want to do is give a big shout out to our guy, Picasso Ramirez. Man, I can't say enough about this dude, Jeremy. Like, I hope he listens and I hope he appreciates it, man. Like, if you guys don't know, if you've checked out 520collective.com since around the beginning of September, we launched a new version of the website, and our guy Picasso was fully responsible for that. He built that thing from scratch. Well, now I want to give a shout out to him because you might have heard a little something different at the beginning of the podcast that you maybe haven't heard before, and that is we have a new custom original theme song for the podcast, and that was done by our guy Picasso, man. So big shout out to Picasso. You know, he's you know, been grinding as an artist for a lot of years, definitely has that throwback vibe, but it's, you know, I really appreciate his music, man. I think he's very gifted, and so he brought a little bit of that flavor, a little bit of his style to the intro for the show, man. So definitely appreciate him.
Yeah, big thanks to him, as everything he's been doing with, you know, the website, songs, I mean, music. He does got all kinds of different things. Really talented dude.
For sure, for sure. And then another talented dude that we want to make sure we shout out. If you guys listen to the final two episodes of season two, you know that back in November, we announced our nominees for the 2020 Rookie of the Year here at 520 Collective. It is our second annual award. And then we narrowed that down, and in the December episode, we were able to announce the three finalists, those being BRM, Hugh Holla, and Just Call Me DT. Well, the staff got together, we voted, and on January 1st, we announced our 2020 Rookie of the Year, and it happens to be Just Call Me DT, Broward's own. Big shout out to him, man. He had a great year. He's a great artist, and looking forward to what he has going in 2021 to kind of follow it up. You know, he said, you know, I didn't necessarily put out the most music, but I still had growth this year when you look at his numbers. And I think the music that he did put out was very quality music, Jeremy. What do you think?
Right, definitely. Yeah, I mean, to not have, I'm pretty sure, yeah, he doesn't have an album out, right? Yeah, I think it's just singles. But they're all, like, big time, I would say, big time songs, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, I've heard him early on somehow. I found out about him. All and this guy can really spit, you know? I've been kind of keeping up with all every time he drops something. And I mean, it's always quality, you know, all around production, you know, bars, all of it's always really high quality. So,
For sure, man. You know, like, dude, the other guys that were, you know, finalists, you know, definitely a shout out to them too. BRM and Hugh Holla, they had great years as well. Two very gifted artists in their own right, man. So shout out to them as well. I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to follow up. You know, we've had, so in 2019, we had Coop, who was Rookie of the Year for us. And then in, of course, 2020, Just Call Me DT. So those are two strong artists, man. It's going to be interesting to see who steps up and who kind of catches our eyes. I mean, there's a couple of artists that I think early on here, I'm going to keep my eyes on that and see what they have going for them. But, you know, I'm not going to say anything yet. I'm going to just hold on tight. But, man, if you're listening and you got some artists that you're keeping your eye on, you think that we need to make sure we're seeing them, like I said, hit up our Anchor account, anchor.fm/520-collective. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what artists are you excited about in 2021. We'd love to hear you. And if we don't know them, we want to check them out. So make sure you put them on our radar. Jump on there. Leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/520-collective. So, Jeremy, you were talking about the growth there for Coop. And that segues into, we got a little bit of growth happening around here as well, man. Some cool stuff that we're excited about. We launched our own Discord server. And for you guys who have not been on Discord, I'd really urge you to jump on there and check it out. It's really cool. If you kind of miss the old school kind of throwback message boards that went along with early Christian hip hop, you know, they were kind of a staple, and that was a big part of communication. It's got a little bit of that, right? So it's got the kind of the message board feel. It's got, you know, the messenger type feel of, you know, some of the popular message apps, but it also allows us to do some cool stuff. For example, on New Year's Day night, we actually went live for the first time as a platform through our Discord. Like, me and Nate were able to jump on, and Jeremy, you were on there a part of it as well. We were able to talk about our favorite projects of 2020, and we've got some cool stuff planned, guys. If you're listening, you know, and it's the 15th when we drop the podcast, this Saturday, the 16th, we are actually going to be starting our artist interview live series on Discord, and we're kicking that off with Big Lank. Lank dropped his project right at the end of the year, the Frustrated Producer, so excited to get on there and chop it up with Lank on our Discord. And then on the 23rd, Jeremy, you're going to be jumping on and chopping it up with our guy Microphone, who's dropping The first song as part of 520 Presents, you know, our brand 520 Presents for the new year. We got his song Through It All with Weeze the Satellite Kid dropping. So you guys are going to hop on there and talk about that. So, Jeremy, I want to get your thoughts, man, and get your point of view on, you know, just like what the Discord thing is all about and why you think people need to join it. But, you know, definitely make sure you guys are hopping in there, have that communication, and check out some of the cool exclusive stuff we're doing. But what do you think, Jeremy? What's been cool about Discord for you?
I think the main thing, or one of the main things that I would kind of get lost in, you know, we were on Telegram and GroupMe before that, and you know, just kind of getting lost in the mix of, you know, there's so much going on through the day, and then you don't even know what you're talking about type thing. Well, Discord kind of helps you, you know, what is, you know, like compartmentalize, I guess you could say, because it's different parts. You know, there's music, like a little music room that you can post something like, hey, check this music out, and you can go back and see that. And then there's like other like reviews, beats, memes, podcast, like there's all these different rooms where you can kind of talk to someone about something in there, and people can kind of message, so you won't kind of, it won't all just kind of be lumped into to one long, you know, thread, or you know, chat or whatever, and just, you know, kind of get lost. That's pretty cool. Plus the, it's almost like the Zoom, but you can kind of zoom in with the Discord. It's all like one app, so you can actually, we can get on, and we'll see in the future, maybe have, you know, some way we can kind of have an artist live and have people in the room with them, and maybe ask questions, you know, Q&A, or, you know, we have the capabilities of doing all these different things now.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. If you want to make sure you're part of the community on Discord, hit up our Twitter account. Like Jeremy said, it is at 520CHH on Twitter. And we have an invite link that you can click on right there in our bio to join our Discord community. Jump in, be a part of the conversation, make connections with other people in this indie CHH scene. And like he said, man, we got some stuff in the works. We don't know what all is going to happen. We got some big ideas, but we want you to be a part of it. So make sure you jump in, join us. And like we said, we're definitely rolling out the live artist interview series on there. We're looking at having those on Saturday nights. So make sure you tune in for those, because we're going to have a lot of artists from across Indie CHH joining us, talking about their latest, talk about what they have going on. So we want to see you there. Jeremy, one thing I want to make sure to plug, shout out to our guy, Darius Mullen. Darius hooked us up. We put together a playlist on Spotify of kind of our staff favorites from 2020. So it's got over 50 songs on there of a wide variety of styles. Shout out to him for putting that together, but you can check that out. Go to 520collective.com, and there's an article posted with the embed and the link. You can follow it, check it out, see if your favorite songs made it on our list as well. Jeremy, you know, one thing that I'm super excited about, and he put out a couple of tracks there before the year finished out, and he just released his project, man, In the Ruins of Dreamland by AKA Fisher, Tentmaker Music. And, you know, we were talking to him, and he was like, man, I'm wondering if you guys want to play one of my songs from the new album on the podcast. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. It's time to roll into our featured song for this episode, Jeremy, and it is off of that new project, In the Ruins of Dreamland by AKA Fisher. It is the song All That. You guys can check it out in our featured video section, which is a new part of the homepage there at 520collective.com right now. It's pretty sweet. It's a throwback to the Nickelodeon comedy show All That. So he, you know, kind of recreated some of the classic moments. Really fun video, but I'm excited to kind of be able to share this song with everyone. You ready to check it out, Jeremy?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, guys, so check this one out. It is All That, AKA Fisher.
Yeah. Oh, so y'all impressed by it, huh? me? Nah. See who I'm rolling with? Jay No Sip. I'm talking about
all that. Cattle on a thousand hills and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Keys on keys and crowns on crowns and all that.
Strip.
This well on ever run dry. What you call that?
Dog got
that off.
I got
all that.
For real.
Angel on his own standby and all that.
Shit.
King of kings and lord of lords and all that. His enemies march to his drum. What you call that?
Dog got
that off.
All talk, only commas. Run on sentences, you boring me. Period. You've overestimated your authority. Period. Sell my soul.
Well, why not?
Okay, hold up.
Dot, dot, dot.
Better get used to these ellipses. I'm still listening what my guy got. And I ain't gotta rely on a guy with a suit and tie on a grip his digits like a python to get my nom on like Saga. Long as my guy still got an eye on the sparrow. As the deer panther, only time I'm comparing it, though. We good on
all that. Cattle on a thousand hills and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Keys on keys and crowns on crowns and all that.
Strip.
This well don't ever run dry. What you call that?
Dog got
that off.
All got
all that.
For real.
Angel armies on standby and all that.
Shit.
King of kings and lord of lords and all that. His enemies march to his drum. What you call that?
Dog got
that off.
See what you holdin', I ain't impressed none. And every penny earned ain't a blessed one. And every lesson learned got a test coming. You only downside in the devil's deal. Cause you've been viewing his office from ground level steel. You don't know what wealth is till you get a glimpse of the richest economist missed. Can't put nothing in your hand while you're balling your fist. By the way, I'm still working on that list. Man, my guy got
all that. Cattle on a thousand hills and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Keys on keys and crowns on crowns and all that.
Strip.
This well don't ever run dry. What you call that?
Dog got
that off.
All got
all that.
For real.
Angel armies on standby and all that.
Shit.
King of kings and lord of lords and all that. His enemies march to his drum. What you call that?
Dog got
that off.
Music. What up, Blaze? I see you. HG, I see you. Hey, yay, yeah, yay. Yeah.
It's time for the 520 podcast song breakdown, sponsored by
Show Me Christ Records.
All right, what's up? Shout out to Show Me Christ Records, St. Louis, Missouri, for sponsoring this month's featured song. You can check them out at showmechristrecords.com. I know Daryl and the team has a lot of good things happening, a lot of stuff planned for 2021, including new music from their artist Jude. So make sure you follow them. You have music, they've got playlists that they want to feature it on. So make sure you submit to them as well and get your music heard. It is showmechristrecords.com. So Jeremy, that was the new song All That by AKA Fisher, like we said, off Tentmaker Music. I'm really interested to know, man, what did you think of this track?
I thought it was very catchy. You know, I mean, I caught myself kind of singing that chorus because I had listened to it earlier, and I mean, it kind of gets stuck in your head. So I mean, from a marketing standpoint, that's pretty good. I like kind of at the end also, they have that little AA at the end, like that little, I don't know, like a segue kind of at the end of the thing. I thought it went really good with the song as well.
For sure, for sure. And you know, whenever I hit up Fisher after hearing it, man, that was exactly my feedback to him. I was like, dude, that hook is, you know, it gets stuck in your brain, dude. Just that melody line, man, I love the fact that he's bringing in scripture and doing it in a way where it's just like you said, just it's super like now, it's super modern the way he does it, right? You know, but like the cattle on the hills and all that, like, dude, I mean, shoot, get out of here with that stuff, man. Like like, here's the thing, dude, and I don't think near enough people know about AKA Fisher, man, and this dude. Like, if you go and listen to the project, which right now it's available on YouTube, and it's available through tentmakermusic.com, so their Bandcamp-supported site. man, dude, like, here's the thing. You listen to it and you realize just how good of an artist Fisher is. And he's put together a beautiful album, man. It's got some fantastic features. You got KJ52, He Sun Lee, BRM, Zay Hill, ASAP Preach. I mean, it's a laundry list almost of features. But yeah, man, all that, dude. I mean, one of the top songs on a very good album from top to bottom. I don't know, man. Have you got to check out any of the other tracks from In the Ruins of Dreamland?
I'm listening to First Thing with Zay Hill and ASAP Preach. I thought it was very good as well.
Yeah, how do you feel like it compares to all that?
I would say, I mean, a different type of song, I guess. I still think all that is a better quality, like, song. I don't know. It's like I think it's J Notes, maybe, was what he says, the producer on it. And very good production on it, you know. And his lyrics, I want to say, I mean, he rhymes so, you know, he has, like, clever wordplay on all that. I'm trying to think of what he was saying. Something like, y'all talk only commas, run on sentences, you're boring me, period. Oh, great. But I'm a sucker for the you know, that type of, rap, I guess you could say. Like the metaphor and like the clever wordplay.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, man. Well, guys, let us know what you thought of all that by AKA Fisher. Hit us up on social medias. Drop us a voicemail on the anchor page, whatever you want to do there. We'd love to hear what you thought of it. But I think, you know, Fisher's definitely a guy I'm keeping track of what he does this year, man. I think it's gonna be a good year for him, man. So Jeremy, man, I appreciate you jumping on this month with me, man, and hanging out on the podcast here for a little bit, man. It's time that we transition into segment two, though. We got, you know, I was really excited for this interview, man, that we got to have for this month. CHH legend K-Drama coming on, dropping some great knowledge, man. And here's the thing about it. What you guys are hearing here on the podcast is only about half of the interview. So stick around to 520clip.com because we're going to make sure to drop the full interview soon. But we're proud to give you this segment of the interview. Jeremy, anything you got to say before we hit that up?
Nope. That's it, man. I'm glad I got to join you. I mean, I'm excited. K-Drama, yeah, he's a big name for us to have kind of on our podcast. So that's really well that he joined us.
For sure, man. Well, dude, I'm sure we'll be seeing you on the podcast some more throughout season three, man. So we'll be looking forward to it. But yeah, definitely, guys, stick around after this break and check out our industry insider interview with K-Drama. Welcome to this month's Industry Insider Interview, brought to you officially by
Bookkeeper247.com.
What's up, and welcome to another Industry Insider Interview here on the 520 Collective Podcast. As always, this interview is being sponsored by the Bookkeeper 24/7. Check them out at thebookkeeper247.com, where they are covering the latest happenings across Christian hip-hop. Daryl and the team, man, you know, they put on for the culture. So make sure you go out and you just support what they have going on. Again, it's thebookkeeper247.com. And joining me right now for this month's Industry Insider Interview, a veteran in this space. He's worn several hats, it seems like, and done it all well, from being a rapper, producer, now label owner. The list kind of goes on. Retro gamer. But joining me from Cincinnati, Ohio, on here on the Track Stars Podcasting Network phone line is the one and only K Drama. What's going on, sir?
Yo, 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 just living the life, man.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, yeah, like, whenever you look at the list of just the different things that you've been able to do, if you want to compare it to, like, an athlete, right, you might call you a Swiss Army knife of sorts. Like, how do you describe just kind of what you do to people?
So, you know, when I think about my involvement, you know, with CHH and what I do, I tend to look at it from, I guess, just how it wasn't really a choice. Initially, it was more so like out of necessity. And so, like, I started rapping first, but then I needed production to rap over. I'm like, well, you know, I don't know any producers. I figured I'd take a crack at it, and wasn't really that great at first, but eventually, you know, developed some skills in that way. And so I feel like that's been the story of my life, just sort of doing what's needed to be done. You know, if it can be delegated, great. But oftentimes, like, that's just not the case. And so for me, it's just, you know, doing what I can do out of necessity, and then delegating whatever else, you know, needs to be done to someone who can do it well, so that at the end of the day, like, the vision is being achieved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that sounds kind of like the typical plight, right, of an independent artist, where, man, I mean, at first you might have to figure out how to kind of DIY this whole thing a little bit. I guess, just like, what did you learn from that experience that you would pass on to, you know, artists who are just getting started? Like, what's like one piece of advice that you really stood out to you as you were going through that growing process?
I would say, like, don't be afraid to try. And I know that sounds real simple, but for me, I remember there was a point where I was doing a lot of my recording with Theory Has It, and he eventually, because he didn't live too far from me, but eventually he moved to Portland to work with Braille, and so I needed a recording studio. At this point, you know, I had rented studios my entire, span of doing music up to that point. And so I would say that was about, like, 10 years of doing music to where I relied on other people to record me. And when it came to the point where I realized I'm probably going to have to record my own music, it terrified me. Like, I'm just like, I don't know if I can record myself. I don't know what waves are. And, you know, I make beats, of course, but making beats for me was using analog gear and using the MPC 2000 or 1000 and physical keyboards. I wasn't using Fruity Loops or VSTs or DAWs. And so, like, it really frightened me, like, that I was going to have to try to do this, because I'm like, this is my music on the line. Like, I might be sacrificing the quality. Like, that was something I was willing to delegate, like I talked about before. And so I would encourage artists, like, don't be afraid of, like, failure. Don't fear failure. Like, at the end of the day, there are some things we're going to do really well, and then there's some things we might not do, you know, so well. But at the end of the day, you don't know unless you take a crack at it. And so I would say, like, just don't be afraid. Like, go forward and just try your best. And I think God'll see what you're doing for Him. Like, He'll either bless what you're doing, like, and you'll be able to do it, or He will partner you with who you need to, you know, carry that vision forward.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. So, you know, you kind of hit on it a minute ago about how you've been creating music for a long time. And I think, you know, just what you have contributed to Christian hip hop is pretty undeniable at this point, right? I mean, you get a lot of respect from those in the space, and rightfully so. So, you know, I think it's hard to get the chance to talk to you and not talk about Air Jordan just a little bit, right? You know, the most sampled song in CHH, you know, pretty easily. I guess my question for you, and that I think a lot of artists would benefit from, because, you know, artists are looking for, okay, that one song that's gonna, you know, kind of pop things off for me, right? Like, at what point did you realize what Air Jordan was actually gonna mean for you as an artist?
So I didn't realize it until well after it came out, honestly. And it's just funny because Air Jordan, it was just such, how do you say it? It was a very, like, I want to use this word, but I want to use it like, I mean it in a certain way. And I think it'll come across as I tell the story. It was a very organic, like, process. Like, not to be like, man, like, it's pure and da-da-da-da-da. But, like, I honestly did not know what Air Jordan was going to do. I had no idea. Like, I knew that the song was cool enough to write. Like, I remember being in the studio, and I remember it was really late at night. And I tend to write a lot of my better songs really late at night, like the 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why that is. It just happened with several of my bigger songs. And Air Jordan, like, I remember the hook just came to me. Like, I Air Jordan on them. Like, that was the only part that I had at first. And I was like, whoa, I like that. Like, that's different. But my fear with Air Jordan was that it was too worldly. Like, that was the fear. Like, the fear was, I'm going to put this song out. Because we were already, like, at that point, like, music was still very cross-movement influence. Reach was cross-movement influence. I mean, Lecrae was with Reach. Just finished being with Lecrae had just finished being with Cross Movement, I think, at this point. And so it was very theological, heavy music, unlike, you know, what it is today. And so I think the plight was, I was like, I don't want my brothers and sisters in Christ to think that that I'm not representing Jesus, or that I'm trying to compromise in order to develop a bigger platform, which there were DJs who did. Like, I remember sending that song to record pools, and I remember that was some of the feedback. Like, is this dude just trying to, you know, come up with some gimmick, you know, so that it catches on and blows up? And that really wasn't the case. I just, honestly, I had the idea, and I thought it was cool, and I was like, let me run with it. And so, from there, like, I made the song, and it actually, Air Jordan, the beat that you hear now, like the one that I ended up commercially releasing, that's not the original version. And so, like, I had this Air Jordan song. I performed it a few times. I really didn't think much of it, though. I just needed to, like, if I was booked to do a 30-minute concert, like, I may have 4 good songs that I know I'm going to do, but then it's like, what I'm going to do for this other 10 minutes? Maybe I'll talk for 5, and then maybe Air Jordan, I could just, you know, kill some time with that. That's kind of how I looked at Air Jordan. And then eventually, like, I don't even know why. I was like, man, I need a new beat for Air Jordan. Like, I didn't think the original beat was bad. I just felt like, yo, it'd be dope to make another beat for it. And so I did. And then I remember going to Virginia. I went to Virginia Beach. I had a show there, and I remember performing Air Jordan. I actually had another song that I used to perform a lot called Show and Tell, and I thought Show and Tell was going to be what Air Jordan is. And so I'm performing Show and Tell. I'm thinking, like, yeah, this the one right here. You know, people liked it. It was cool. But then when I would perform Air Jordan, it was just something about that song. And people just really gravitated to it. I remember my dude, Sean Slaughter, he was like, yo, like, that song is special, dude. You need to push it. And I was just like, for real? Like, it, and I was sort of really, I was really naive, like not really seeing what the moment was. And eventually it just kept growing like that to where like everybody I sent that song to, like I sent it to Lecrae. He was like, yo, can you, you want to perform this during my set at Flavor Fest? I had like Wit from back when he was with Frontliners. He was like, yo, can you send me the instrumental so I could remix it? And like people were hitting me up, like I didn't even have an instrumental online yet, and people were like hitting me up, like, yo, send me the beat. And that's when I sort of, I was like, okay, maybe this song is more special than I think. And then eventually, like, Show Baraka remixes it, and that's when, and I didn't even know he remixed it. Like, he actually got the beat from Wado. And when he did Kobe Bryant on him, like, that really took it to another stratosphere. And that was when I was like, oh, this song is like, wow, like this is going to be a memorable song for the rest of my life. Like, that's when that hit me. And so, like, for artists out there, it's just like sometimes you don't know what you have, and that's why it's good to have people around you as a good soundboard, because they can tell you what's hot, what's not. And you can't even listen to that 100% either. You, at the end of the day, like, just got to go with your gut and go with the spirit of leading, because like I said, I had DJs that were really not feeling that song. And had I listened to the DJs and been like, oh man, like the DJs don't think it's good, maybe I shouldn't put it out, then we might not even have a ear to it. You know what I'm saying? So I would say, like, you know, at the end of the day, you do got to stick with your guns, but it's good to have people in your corner who aren't yes men, who are going to be a good soundboard. And just create, like, because, like I said, you never know what you have your hands on. I didn't know Air Jordan was that special until maybe a year after performing it. Like, that's when it really started taking off. Like, it wasn't like this overnight thing. Like, I had made that song in 07, and it didn't really take off until early 09. So that was just, you know, something. And sometimes people want me to like replicate that. I had a dude hit me up, so I just did this A Different World challenge, and this dude hit me up like, yo, like, we need to make another Air Jordan type song. Like, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, of course I would love to do that, but that's like catching lightning in a bottle for me. Like, I just don't sit around trying to make the next Air Jordan. It was just such a special moment. So it was so organic. Like, I don't know if I could just replicate that. So, you know, that's that.
That's what's up. Guys, again, joining me on the Track Stars Podcasting Network phone line is K Drama. May, you've kind of taken another step now. So you went from, you know, you have your artistry, you have the production side, and now you've stepped into, you know, working on your own label, right? After being an independent artist for a little bit. Talk about Playwright Music and what you have going on in that world.
So Playwright is funny. You'll have some people who may know this that's listening. So originally I had a label when I was in high school. Like, the whole deal was I used to send my demos to all these labels, like that was popping. Like, I sent it to Grape Tree, I sent it to Eternal Funk Records with Unity Clan, like all these groups that are like in all the record stores at the time. And of course, nobody gave me the light of day, and reasonably so. Like, but back then, I'm like, yo, like, I was kind of, I guess I was kind of arrogant just to think like, yo, I'm hot, and somebody needs to sign this kid. Like, I'm about to kill it. Like, I ain't seeing, you know. And so for me, I was like, well, if these labels aren't going to sign me, I'm gonna just sign myself. And so I started this label called This Click Records back in like 2001. And I did that through when Boom Baptism dropped. So even when I came out with like Behind the Glory, it was like a joint venture. And then with Cross Movement, that's when I kind of dropped this Click thing and was an artist with Cross Movement. But I was like, I don't want to call it K-Drama Music. but I want to, you know, figure out, like, so I always wanted to start a label, like legitimately, like, cause I had artists on this click, but only one dropped an album. I had, like, at one point, I think we had, like, 9 artists on the label, but it was more just, more of a group. It wasn't really a label. It was more like, I mean, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. But I only had one dude, my dude Big Steve, who actually dropped a record on this record. And so that was just the thing, you know, back then. Like, No Limit, like, Master P had the tank. Cash Money had the dollar sign. Like, Death Row had the electric chair. You know, they all had these emblems. That was just, you wanted to have, like, a chain with your emblem on your neck. Like, I used to have a No Limit chain, actually. Like, that I used to, before I got saved, I used to wear it to school all the time. And so, like, that was just the thing. And so, but when I matured a little bit and grew up, I was like, eventually, I just wanted to start a label, like, because I want to, I don't want to release music on K-drama music. I feel like I'd be a little more creative than that. And then two, and like pivoting off of that, I'm like, if I have other artists, I don't want them to say I'm signing K-drama music. But I was like, it'd be dope to have like a cool name. And so that was literally the thing that held me back for years. It was like, once I get a name, then, you know, I'm a run with it. And to be honest, like playwright music, it kind of just came about. Like, I just one day, like, I bounced all these other names. Like, my wife keeps it straight, like, 100. And so I gave her all these different names. She was like, that's terrible, that's whack, that's horrible, don't call it that, da, 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 da. And so one day, like, playwright just popped up in my head because I'm thinking K-drama, playwright music. Because K-drama is, like, I act out the king. I'm like, playwright, you know, a person who writes plays is, like, it's basically the same thing, in essence, like, as far as how I look at my name versus playwright. And so I'm like, really, it is K-drama music. It's just encapsulated with a better representation of that. So playwright music, I'm like, yo, I want to act out the king through what I write, basically. And so once I came up with that, I'm like, oh, dope. And it's funny, like, I came up with, right around the time I came up with that was when I met my first artist, Scott Sim. And so, like, it was just like, all right, God, I see you. Like, your timing is perfect. And so, like, eventually I signed him, and then I signed another artist named Will Riley. And they're both no longer with Playwright, but, like, we're still cool and everything's good. But, you know, we came out with several collab albums, and then I came out with some stuff. They came out with solo stuff. And so I'm sort of in the process of trying to find new artists, new talent, because I'm trying to, like, on the entrepreneurship side, like, I'm trying to develop more streams of income that I don't have to put in as much work for. You know, if I can leverage my platform for somebody else, and they can, for me in turn, you know, provide me income for my services, then it's a win-win. And so that's really what I'm looking for now, just kind of keeping my ear out. But until then, you know, I'm like, I got plenty of music that I plan on dropping and I've been dropping. So if anything, Playwright right now just serves as an outlet for me to drop my own music. And so, for me, it's just the name. And I mean, I would call it K-drama music, but I just don't think it sounds good. So that's really what that is. But I guess that's really what a label is, like, when you think about it. It's a collection, it's an umbrella. And I'm just under that umbrella. So
that's what's up. So when you're looking at potential artists that, you know, you might want to start those discussions with and bring, like, what kind of attributes are you looking for when you're kind of checking out an artist?
So I think first impression makes a lot of, like, it means a lot. When I hear an artist for the first time, like, actually both of the artists that I had signed, both Scott and Rail, I saw them perform live first. And so seeing them perform live, they both killed it. Like, these are two different shows. One was at a birthday party for twin 12-year-old girls. So you got to imagine, like, the scenario. Not an ideal show for me at all. But, of course, I loved doing it. It was great. That's where I met Scott Sims. And he killed it as if he was singing for thousands of people opening up for Lecrae. Like, that's how I came off. And I was like, yo, this dude, his concert, his live stage presence is dope. And then his songs are dope. Because oftentimes, you could be dope live, but, and I've had this happen so many times where I hear somebody live, they're great, but their live show doesn't translate in their studio recording. Like, I hear the album and I'm just like, it just doesn't have the same energy. Some people perform better in public than they do in the studio, and that's okay. But for me, I'm looking for a bit of both. Same with my dude Rail. Like, when I saw him perform, like, he smashed it. He was creative. Like, I remember he took a selfie in the crowd, like, but he had it, like, synced up with his music, but he actually took the picture. Like, it wasn't just a sound effect. Like, he did it, like, it was just, timing was perfect. And then he posted the picture on his Instagram. Like, it was just stuff like that, like, going that extra mile. That is like, wow, like, that's cool, that's creative. What else can you come up with? And so I think those two things, but then the thing that's really going to carry you, like, because I can sign you, but do you have the work ethic? And I think oftentimes just it's easy for artists to be artists and make the music, but the work ethic isn't there to do everything else. And it's like, yo, the music's only the first step. Like, there's so much more you have to do than be an artist. And if you don't realize that, at some point you're going to get left behind and you're going to end up obsolete. And so, yeah, I look for those three things, like creativity, dope music, work ethic. I think those are the things I look for. So, like, even I just did this A Different World challenge. There's a few artists. I'm like, yo, they were dope. Like, so my next step is listening to their music, like going on their Spotify, seeing what kind of songs they come up with on their own. And, you know, but if I was to actually talk to them, like, yo, like, I would love to work with you, I want to get a sense of their work ethic through our conversation. Like, are you going to be able to keep up with me? Because my work ethic, you know, is... like, yo, my life depends on this. That's the kind of work ethic I operate with. Like, I wake up dumb early and I go as hard as I can until it's time to quit. And that's what I'm expecting from any artist that I'm working with. Like, if you can't keep up with me on the track, then we're not going to be a good fit, because I'm going to just get frustrated that you're not doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Man, that's good stuff, man. And that's what artists need to hear, you know what I'm saying? Because there's some of them who maybe get it. There's some of them who just do certain things naturally. And then there's some of them who have no idea, right? So I think the more that we can give them that insight, man, the better. So
yeah, get ready to come up. And I'll say this too. Like, if you don't know it, that's okay. Like, for me, like, someone like we gotta teach. Like, we can't. It's one thing if you teach them, like, if you don't know, and I teach you, but you don't implement it, then that's when it's like, this could have been dope, but because you don't want to work at it, like, it just falls by the wayside. And so, yeah, people don't know. Like, oftentimes they don't know the game. Like, that's why you have your show. You know, you're putting people on game. But if people listen to your show and then they don't do nothing with it, then it's like, why did you even listen? Did you just want your ears tickled, or are you really trying to take things, get these nuggets, you know, and apply them so that you can, you know, make the most of your situation? So, like, people got to be able, it's information without application is useless. Like, you got to take what you hear and you got to apply it, or else it's just no point. It's no point of even knowing it.
For sure, for sure. Well, man, as we're getting ready to roll into, you know, this new year, this, you know, 2021, what should people maybe keeping an eye out for as far as Playwright Music is concerned, man? Is there any plans, anything in the works that you're
thinking
about?
Yeah. I'm super excited about 2021. Like, I was excited about 2020, and obviously it's been the most, like, unusual year of all my life. But I feel like a lot of great things happened in 2020. Still, like, I don't look at it like throw it in the trash. You know, I see a lot of people say that, and it's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Like, God still, like, God uses a lot of things to teach us things, to cultivate, to grow us. And so I felt like this was a growing year, like, in a lot of ways. And so 2021, I'm just going to kind of build on. I want to build on what I did in 2020. We're just releasing a lot of music, a lot of singles. Like, 2020, I released a lot of singles. 2021, I plan on releasing a lot of projects. Like, I'm going to kind of, I'm going to try something new, because we live in this, you know, like, music just doesn't have a shelf life it once had. And I'm like, you know, part of me is like, you know, I don't want to oversaturate the market, but at the same time, I don't feel like you can, because music just has such a short shelf life, unless you just really make something that just changes the game. So I plan on doing a lot of different, if things go the way I envision they go, I might release 3 or 4 projects in 2021. Now, they're not all gonna, one will be an album, you know, 14 songs. One might be a compilation album, same amount of tracks, and then 2 EPs. Like, that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Like, and then, because I'm even thinking in the 2022, where, like, I want to do, like, a We Fit Part 2. A lot of people have been like, yo, you should do a We Fit 2, and I'm like, yeah, that would be dope. So, like, I'm thinking kind of like how you got Cobra Kai coming off of Karate Kid, you know, and everybody's doing reboots. Well, I don't really see that musically. And so I'm kind of delving into that, seeing what it looks like. And worst case scenario, it just doesn't do well, and then you release another project. So it's kind of, yeah. So yeah, expect a lot of music, though, from me. And then I'm hoping, you know, I hope I meet some artists digitally, obviously, that I can work with and, you know, partner with and you know, work with on Playwright. So yeah, 2021 is going to be great. It's going to be positive.
That's what's up. So, where do people need to go in order to follow what you have going on and just support the music?
So I'm pretty active on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So Twitter and Instagram handle is @kdrama513. Facebook, you can just type in K-Drama. I should be the first thing that pops up. You know, it should be able to stay in tune there.
That's what's up. Well, man, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to just hop on here and talk with us. Man, we appreciate it. You know, might hit you up again in the future, see if we can get some more nuggets from you, if that's all right.
Yeah, let me know. I'm truly, you know, truly honored for the opportunity, you know, grateful for your platform, and you know, it's a blessing being on with you.
Thank you. We appreciate it for sure. So, guys, once again, that was K-Drama. Definitely grateful for him taking a little time to talk with us on this episode of the podcast. And as always, shout out to our episode sponsors, including the Bookkeeper 24/7. We will see you guys on the next pod.